Welcome our online family. Could you? God bless you guys. So glad you're with us. Hey, remain standing with me just for a moment. Remain standing just a little bit. If you went down and back up, it counts as a rep, okay? We're in shape around here, amen? Hey, last week I reminded you of a song. We sang it at the end. It's an old song, one of my favorites on the planet. If you don't know it, it's a brand new song. The thing is, it's got just a touch of God, I think, on it, and it just reminds us of how much God loves us. I want us to sing this just a little bit before we get into the Word today. Sherry, would you lead us right now? Declare it.
How He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He be? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves me.
Come on, everybody.
Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life.
You may be seated. I'll probably sing that all day now. Yeah. Well, we're continuing on our series on the love of God. And the greatest thing that you can know is that God loves you. Because the greatest need in your life is to know that God loves you. That's the greatest need that you have. Now, hear me on this. If you don't know that God loves you, and I know maybe on a certain level, yeah, I know God loves me, and then we qualify ourselves out of that a little bit, but you just need to know how absolutely much that God loves you. If you don't have a full awareness of that, and that's what we're after, is a fuller awareness of that. And I shared this with you last week. The enemy of your soul will exploit you. He will exhaust you. He will work to detour and to distort and to damage your soul so that you're missing out on all the fullness of God loving you and what that means for you and to you in your life. So that's why we're spending time on this, because when you have that realization, that greater and greater revelation, I see more and more just how much God loves me. And just to rest in that, to accept that God loves you. When you have that love relationship with God, watch this. It meets all needs. It heals all hurts. And it fills all emptiness. It meets all needs. It heals all hurts. It fills all emptiness. When I don't have awareness of that, then I'm hurting. I'm needy. I'm empty, and yet it's all there. And so we've got to align ourselves so that we can receive more and more what that means for us, that God loves us. Now, four facets of God's love that I want us to look at real quick. First of all, it's God's love for us. For us. Everybody say for us. And so this is His thoughts. This is His feelings, that God has love for us. Secondly would be God's love to us. To us. Come on, say it. To us. And this is where He acts and where He does things out of that love for us, things to us, His love to us. He shows it. And then ideally then is God's love in us. Come on, say it. In us. It's God's love in us where we accept that and we believe that and we receive, I am loved by God. And then God has a secondary goal that is pretty incredible. God's love for us, to us, in us, and then through us. And that's where we show God's love and share God's love. And so for us, to us, in us, through us, we're loved by God, and God wants to do something in us, but God also wants to do something through us. Can you say amen today? Go ahead and look with me, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 19, the Apostle Paul writes, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots," everybody say my roots, "your roots will grow down into God's love." I love that. "Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience, come to know for yourself, the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." Again, meets all needs, heals all hurts, fills all emptiness. May we all have a growing revelation and a growing realization of just how much that God has love for me and God has love to me. So let me put this on the screen here for you. God loves you. Come on, say it. God loves you. Now personalize it. God loves me. One more time. God loves me. And you got to realize this. Now, how many of you have been in church for more than 3 years? Okay. How many of you have been in church more than maybe 10 years? All right. More than 20. Okay. And I could go on and on and on. I want to make a point of this. There's a danger. Hear me on this. You got to hear every word on this. There's a danger of going to church for a long, 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 long time. Here's the danger. You get used to it. You get used to it. When you first knew, when you first heard that God loved you, that Jesus died for my sins, and all the wonderful truths of that, we hear that and it moves us in a deep way. We give our hearts to him. We say, I'll live for you forever. And as we go on, we hear it, we hear it, we hear it. And if we're not careful, we kind of hear it. You know, it's like if you had your favorite food every meal. You know, and so what we want to be sure of is that we keep our hearts soft, that we don't let the soil of our hearts get packed down by that frequent path. That's what Jesus was talking about, the seed sown among the four paths. And one of those paths was a actual path that was packed down. And when it's packed down, guess what? The seed can't get in there and grow. And so what happens? The birds come and take it away. Jesus explained that parable and he said, do you know who the birds are? It's the devil. The devil will come and take away the word that was sown because it didn't make it down in the heart. That's why we've got to keep our hearts plowed up. I didn't tell the other services this, okay? But I really feel this. We've got to keep our hearts plowed up. Do you know one of the ways to keep your heart plowed up? Worship. Amen. Praise and worship. Did you know that of the tribes of Israel, Judah was a praise leader. Judah actually means praise. Judah also means plows. And so it plows up the packed down soil of our heart. That's why you need to be careful what music you're listening to. That's why you need to morning and night worship God, whether you sing or not. You know, that you're worshiping him, that you're praising him, that you're thanking him, so that the soil of your heart doesn't just get packed down by frequent use. And I pray that God would help us today to plow us up, please, Jesus, so that we don't come to church and then go home and say, what was it about? Oh, God loves us. Lord, help us to really realize, help us to really see what that means, amen, that he loves us. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Now, 1 John chapter 3, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Now, this word behold, everybody say behold. Behold, in 1 John is written in the New Testament, written in New Testament Greek. Behold here is an outburst. It's an aha, look at this. It is a holy wow. You know that, what is going on? For two chapters, he's been going on just giving instruction, and now he has this outburst. He's like, whoa. And then he says this, what manner of love? What manner of love is this? It also in the New Testament Greek, this actually means from what country or place did this come from? So he's saying that this is not from around here. This is something very special. It's peculiar. It's uncommon. It's rare. He's literally saying this is an out of this world kind of love that God has loved us with. I pray today we would get a behold on the inside. I pray today that we get a little bit of that aha or holy wow on the inside of us of what kind of love is this that God loves us with? Now, as a human being, we all need love. We need love and we need to be loved and we need to love. And a number of years ago, I don't know, 20 years or more, a guy named Gary Chapman wrote a book called The Five Love Languages. Some of you might be familiar with it. And what he did, he categorized behaviors and actions of ways that you can show love in the way that people would feel loved. And so there's probably more when I've taught on this in depth. I'm just going to pass through them right now. I think there might be a couple others, but this is so good to kind of categorize this. And you need to know these for yourself. And you certainly need to know these regarding your spouse or people that you have relationship with. So here they are. We'll have them on the screen for you. First of all is words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. How many of you would rather somebody build you up than tear you down? Okay, well then how many of you would rather tear you down than build you up? Okay, y'all got to work with me today. How many of you would rather somebody build you up than tear you down? All right. And it's words of affirmation. Say good things. We all like that. We all like that when people say good things and they're affirming. It's not flattering. Second would be quality time. Quality time. Third, receiving gifts. How many of you, that'd be the top of your list, receiving gifts. Some of you, all right. Acts of service. Acts of service. And then last is physical touch. Now, it's important that you know this, that these have different priority depending on the person. It varies per person what they would put at the top of their list. I know what my wife's are. Hers is quality time, top of the list, and words of affirmation. She'll tell our kids birthday time or something, you don't have to buy me anything. Just write down some words for me. Let me get some time with you. That means the world to her. Where some of y'all, buy me something, you know? And we all like getting gifts and stuff too, but it matters. These are ways that we show love. These are ways that we feel loved. And the reality is that God shows his love for us in all of these ways and many more as well. So think about the people that you love, people that you love. When you love somebody, love compels you to do some certain things for them. So I'm just thinking in my life, people that I love. And so first of all would be Alicia, my wife, and my kids, and their spouses, and my grandbabies. I think I like them better than my kids. I'm joking. They all have their place. They all have. Right now in my life, I have a very, very special love for my mother-in-law. And you'd say, you love your mother-in-law? It's a miracle. No. Now, I've always loved her. She's in a nursing home now, and she's dealing with dementia. And I have just had a special love come on me for her. Now, like I said, I've always loved her, and there's a couple reasons. First of all, she always fed me well. And secondly, regarding Alicia and I, she always took my side, okay? But now there's kind of a, I don't know, a special love that I want to make sure she's okay. I want to protect her. I want to help her. I want to make her laugh. I want to make all of her days as good as they can be. And then we love our pets. We absolutely love our dog, Bruno. Best dog in America. If he was running for president, you would vote for him. I'm telling you what. Bruno, 2024. But you love your animals too. I have proof. I did research. Last year in the United States, we spent $140 billion on our pets. $140 billion. That breaks down to $1,500 per pet owner for last year that we spent. Why? Because we love them. But get this. When we love somebody, we're compelled to do something. So it's God's love for us. It's God's love to us. But the people we love, we want to do this. We want to spend time with them. We want to check on them. We want to provide for them, comfort, cheer them on, cheer them up, protect them, defend them, be with them, be near them. Like I said, give them gifts, advocate for them, help them, hug them, sacrifice, feed them. Alicia has a little saying, breakfast is love. That's one of the ways you can tell people, you know, show people that you're loved is give them breakfast, which usually takes it past Pop-Tarts, all right? Now, there's a poem, I didn't recall when it was written, but the words kind of go like this, would be on the screen for you, by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. How do I love thee? Come on, you know this part. Let me count the ways. Well, if I have a subtitle for today, it would be this, count the ways, count the ways. And we want to look at the ways that God loves us. Now, I'm going to go ahead and spoiler alert, you cannot count all the ways that God loves you. But you should be counting all the ways that God loves you. You should keep count of all the ways that God loves you, even though I'm not going to be able to count them all. You should be paying attention and registering all the ways that God loves you. Look with me in Psalm 119, verse 17 and 18, reading from the Amplified Bible. It says, how precious and weighty also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And when I awoke, could I count to the end, I would still be with you. And what this is saying here is showing us God's love for us. Notice he said, how weighty and precious are your thoughts. So it's his thoughts, it's his feelings toward us. So this is God's love for us. In Psalm 40, verse 5, O Lord my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. And this is God's love to us. Notice that he performed many wonders and wonderful deeds, and they're too numerous to list. So before we saw that God's love for us, this is God's love to us. This is active, things that he does on our behalf. Then look in Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates, everybody say demonstrates. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That should move us. That should still move us. Now, God demonstrates, I had you repeat that word. So demonstrates also translates out shows, and it means this as well, to set together an exhibit or to display. So in other words, God displays, it's on exhibit for us to see all the ways that God loves us. God makes it clear, and God leaves no doubt for us of his love for us and his love to us. And I want to take just a few of the items out of the exhibit today, all right? There's so many. And coming and going this morning from services, you know, I think I should have shared this one, or that would be a good one. But I've got six that I feel led to share with you this morning of ways that God loves us. The first one is this, he adopted us. Amen. Come on, read that. He adopted us. Now, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, 1 John, there's numerous other very, very clear references that he adopted us. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says that, get this, that we are chosen, adopted, and accepted in the beloved. So because of his love for us, think about this. He chose us. So he doesn't, well, whichever one. No, he chose you. Then he adopted us, which is actually legal and binding, and there's no way out of that. So God, you're stuck with us. Chosen, adopted, and I love this part, accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
So he adopts us, chosen, adopted, accepted in the beloved. He takes us home now, we're his, but he doesn't sit us down and say, listen, I got a bunch of other kids and you're the new one here and these are my real kids and I just signed up for you. No, what does he do? He receives us just like all the rest.
Amen.
We're accepted in the beloved. We're treated just like everybody else. I had a stepfather. Alicia had a stepfather who made very clear to us that, you know, they really didn't like being called stepdad or referred to us as stepkids. They said, you're my kids. You're my kids. You're my kids. And they were very, very clear about that. And that's helpful for us rather than, well, I'm kind of here or you just signed up for me or you liked my mom. You know, it goes further than that. And God adopted us, chose us, adopted us, accepted us in the beloved. And now, and remember in 1 John we read, whoa, what manner of love is this that God would now call us his children? That's that adoption. And he is now our heavenly father. We're in his family. We're in his family. Now listen, when I remember numerous times, junior high, high school, I wanted to be adopted. I'd go over to my friend's house and I thought, man, what would it take? I want to be in this family. And it had something to do with maybe the parents or their house or what they were allowed to do or had or whatever that would be that I wanted to be adopted. Now, I'm going to cut to the chase on something here. God's love for us, God's love to us, God's love in us, God's love through us. Not just our love, but God's love. And when others see how we love in the family of God, how we love him, how we love each other, how we are loved, and how we love even those that, you know, Jesus even said, love your enemies even.
Amen.
When we see that, you know what's going to make people want to do? I want to be in that family. I want to be in that family. And that's part of the whole flow of God's love, part of the purpose of all of God's love for us. He loves us so much, he adopted us. Secondly, he loves us, and as a result of that, he gives us rare and precious gifts. He gives us rare and precious gifts. I used to travel a whole lot more for ministry and so forth, and back when my kids were little, they were collecting Beanie Babies. How many of you remember those? Okay. And if you keep those Beanie Babies, one day they're going to be worth a lot of money, okay? And so I would buy, you know, other things too, but sometimes I'd be at a place and there would be a Beanie Baby that was unique to where I was at, and so I would get that and bring that home. And so that's kind of a, where'd you get that? Because you can't get that here. You can't get that somewhere else, okay? And get that and bring that home. And kind of funny story on that, they loved those, and we ended up with a bunch of them, and Alicia put them in a big basket. And then our youngest son, and remember, you've got to keep the little red heart tag on there, because one day they're going to be worth a lot of money. And our youngest son, when he was a little dude, I remember one day he just walked up to that and just kind of pulled it out and started taking off all the red hearts. So, because they would have been worth a lot of money. So. He gives us rare and precious gifts that we cannot find around here. One of them, and plow your heart for this one, peace. Peace. In John chapter 14, he says, peace I give to you, not like the world gives. So he said, you can't find this around here. Not like the world gives, give I to you. My peace, my own brand, my personal peace I give to you. And you know what he said right after that? So don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Why? Because you got this peace that is not from around here, folks. Rare and precious gifts. You know another one? Mercy. Anybody thankful for mercy? Lamentation says it's because of his steadfast love that never ceases, that every morning, say every morning, that every morning his mercies are new. We can count on his mercies every day. Do you even know what his mercies are? His mercies are his unqualified loving kindness and goodness to us that we don't deserve. And yet every day he's pouring out mercies into our life. Rare and precious gifts that are not from around here because he loves us. Thirdly, he will never leave us or forsake us. Never. We sang it in song this morning. He'll never fail us. He won't let us down. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. If we boil down all the promises of God's word, here's the way I would summarize it. I'm never alone, and I'm never without help. I'm never alone. I'm never without. If I ever got a tattoo, I would get that, and it would go right across here. I'm never alone. I'm never without help. All right? So I'm not saying go do that. If I do that, I'll come back and show you. At least parts. All right. So say it with me. I'm never alone. And I'm never without help. How can you say that? Because God loves me. And because he promised that for me, that I'm never alone. I'm never without help. And you know what? It's one thing to be never alone, but if they can't help you, that's annoying. What if you had somebody who's with you all the time, but they don't add anything? They don't bring anything. And so never alone, but never without help. He's with us, but he helps us. I used the illustration a while back of you're on this long, deserted country road driving along. Your car breaks down and you're out of cell phone coverage. And the only person with you, and they're with you, but it's your great-great-grandma. She probably is not going to be able to help with anything. But here's the thing. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death or whatever it would be, he is with me and he will help me because he loves me, helps me in that. We look in Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. Why? Because I will be with you. When you go through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. How? Because I will be with you. The flames will not consume you because I will be with you. So that phrase, I will be with you, how is it that he is with us? You ready? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift that keeps on giving. And the Holy Spirit, he is with us always. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Listen to me, because he loves you. No matter what your emotions are, no matter what your self-talk is at the moment, no matter what the situation is, you need to know I'm loved by God. And because I'm loved by God, not only am I adopted, not only do I have things like peace and mercy, I have God with me. Rivers of difficulty, whatever it would be, he is with me. I'm never alone and I am never without help because he loves me. Amen. Now, because he loves me, he won't stop. He won't stop loving me. He won't stop loving me. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Look at me. He loves you. Period. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more. There's nothing you can do to make him love you less. He loves you. He loves you. And he's not fickle about that. He's not going to change his mind about you. He loves you. And he's not going to change his mind. I think I was in third grade. And there's a girl in my class. And we all loved her. And, you know, third grade love. Okay? And so, but I remember a period of time where all of us guys that liked her, we'd kind of just kind of line up and she would tell us the order of how she liked us today. So like some days you were number one, some days you were number three, some days you weren't even on the list. Stupid girls. I don't need a girl anyway, you know. But it was very, very fickle. Are y'all hearing me? And it changed. It changed. It was like the weather. It was like the stock market. It just changed every day. You just didn't know where you landed. But you can know every day, around the clock, no matter what's going on, God loves you and he won't. He won't stop loving you. And nothing can separate you from his love. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, the Apostle Paul writes, and I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Nothing. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. My goodness. He will never stop loving you. Next, because he loves us, he won't ignore you. He won't ignore you. And this is important because sometimes we wonder, well, did God get tired of me? Does he still hear me? We have to realize, no, I'm the apple of his eye. The Bible says that. And in 1 Peter tells us this, the Psalms as well, that his eyes are attentive towards us and his ears are open to our cry. You know, and he sees you and he hears you. I don't know, it was a couple months ago, I was in the grocery store and I ran into a guy and I said, hey, how are you doing? And we talked just for a little bit. And he said, I'm not doing too well. And I said, well, love to see you back in church, and kind of shared with him a little bit. And he said, hey, could you pray about this for me? And I said, well, sure, I'll be glad to do that. And then I felt prompted in the moment to say, have you prayed about it? Amen. Have you prayed about it? And he says, no. And I said, well, why don't you pray about it too? And then he said this to me. He said, God doesn't hear me. Now, this is why I feel this is important to make this point today, that God will not ignore you. He loves you. He won't ignore you. He can see you, and he can hear you. And see, his eyes are on you. His ears are open to you. It's important that you realize that you accept that, because, let me take you back to the beginning of the message. Otherwise, the enemy is going to totally leverage that against you. He's going to get you where you don't pray, where you don't seek God. Why would I? He doesn't see me. He doesn't hear. He doesn't remember me. He doesn't know me. And the reality is he loves you. Amen. And his eyes are attentive towards you. His ears are open to you. You know, when you bring home a newborn baby from the hospital anymore, you've got monitors set up. You've got, you know, baby monitors and ring cameras and everything else, you know, so that you can see or hear. And especially when you're that new parent, you know, and that love is just, wow, you know, and your baby, you're just so just overwhelmed. Every little peep that you hear, you know, any sound or no sound. I don't hear them, you know, or I hear them, you know, and it's just because of your love, you care so much, and you need to know that God has that kind of love for you. And I want to say this in this moment, God does see you. There may be some people right here today saying, I don't know if God sees me or God hears me. He sees you and he hears you because he loves you. And don't let the enemy leverage that in some way and convince you otherwise. He does see you. He does hear you. He does care. You're the apple of his eye, and he hears your prayers and he hears your cries. Amen. And then lastly today, because he loves you, and this is a big one, he forgives you. He forgives you. Anybody thankful for forgiveness today? I truly believe it's the number one love gift from God, is that he forgives us. That's what started everything to start with. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish. How do you not perish? Because my sins get forgiven. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How do you get saved? By forgiveness, because of the blood of Jesus and what that did for us. Are y'all hearing me? And so he forgives us. And the basis of any healthy, enduring relationship is forgiveness. How many of y'all are married? You ever had to forgive one another?
Yes.
I'm waiting. Okay. I remember years ago, this couple told me, oh, we've never had to forgive each other. We never argue. We never get mad at each other. And I thought, have you even met? You know, I just don't even think that's reality. I mean, just throughout our day, just minor things and major things and all of that. But I'm telling you, God forgives us. And what is this about? It's about a relationship with God. Now, hear me. He's never going to mess up. But we do. We do. And the fact that he forgave us, the fact that he still forgives us, is vital for us to know, because that allows us the access to all of His love. And that's where the relationship begins with in the first place and is ongoing. The greatest thing you can know is that God loves you, because the greatest need you have is to know that God loves you. When you understand more and more of how He loves you, that meets all needs, that heals all hurts, that fills the emptiness. You can't count all the ways that God loves you, but you should keep count of every way that you see that God loves you. Now, I want to give you three things before I finish real quick. You need to start thinking about the love of God. Start thinking about how He loves you. Start to make mental notes. Start to think about it. Start to get it in your thinking, because guess what? We've got a lot of wrong thinking, don't we? We got a lot going on up there that doesn't belong there. And sometimes you just need to declare, even if you think, well, that's out of context. You know, you're dealing with a problem or stress or whatever it would be. God loves me. God loves me. Because that is the blanket thing that will help you with everything. Second thing is you need to speak and sing of God's love. That's why we sang this song today. You need to throughout your day be speaking. Don't be speaking against the you that God loves. You know, speak out what God says about you in your life and speak over and over. God loves me. God will get me through this river of difficulty, the fires of oppression. God's with me. He never leaves me, never forsakes me. I'm never alone. I'm never without help. You need to fill your mouth. Fill your mouth with God's love. And the other thing is you need to start acting like God loves you. Start carrying yourself. That's not strutting around or acting weird or anything else, but to realize God loves me. So if you're going into a job interview or a surgery or whatever it would be, you know what? He's with me. He's with me. God loves me. He's with me. He won't wait in the truck and just send me in. He's coming with me, all right? All the way through. God is with you. God loves you. You need to act like God is with you. Don't live your life afraid. Live your life knowing God's with me. He'll protect me. He surrounds me with favor like a shield. God's with me. God loves you. And like I said, you can't count all the ways that God loves you. But start keeping count of all the ways that God loves you. Amen? Did y'all get anything at all out of this today?